Now, Monday saw the resumption of indoor dining for the fully vaccinated, but live gigs are still not permitted in pubs, restaurants or hotels. Some trial events have taken place, mainly outdoors, but the majority of the industry has been on hiatus since shutting down at the beginning of the pandemic in March of last year. The Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland, which has around 5,000 members, is calling for the government to set out a clear plan for its members to return to work. And for more on this and just how difficult it has been for musicians, I'm joined by two people who will have a good insight into this. Siobhan Peoples, who's a local musician, and Matt McGranahan, who's also a musician and spokesperson for the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland. Matt, I'll start with yourself. This call for a roadmap has come about because musicians are feeling ignored and disposable, which I suppose for a country like Ireland, which part of its international reputation, or certainly how we're viewed abroad, is a land with a lot of culture, music and storytelling, and to ignore musicians must feel pretty tough.
Good morning, Alan, and thank you so much for having us on. Well, look, we've been calling for a roadmap since last year. We want to see some type of plan in place where there's a structure to what actually can happen in different scenarios. And earlier this year, the Minister, Catherine Martin, created a live entertainment working group in April. There's no representation on that group, or no representative body for musicians on that group. And that working group has, of course, delivered some of the test events that you mentioned, which are really for outdoor and for much larger scale events. But we want to see the test events and test and pilot gigs happening and real, you know, everyday situations where most musicians and entertainers in this country make their living, which is, you know, in pubs and hotels, playing at social occasions, social gatherings, weddings and traditional music sessions and all the rest. And we believe that could have been done in April or May in a very safe and responsible way. We could have created the scenarios, could have created a set of guidelines for musicians to follow, entertainers to follow, created a set of guidelines for the premises as well. We have a good working relationship with the VFI, the LBA, and the Irish Hotels Federation as well. All of whom want to do, they all want to see the return of live entertainment, but understandably, their priority is getting their own businesses up and running, and we fully understand that. But based on the guidelines that have been announced just this week, especially for the resumption of indoor hospitality, there should have been and could have been provision to actually allow entertainment to happen in an outdoor capacity. And that, again, has been ignored.
Matt, how has it been for you as a musician over the past 16 or so months? Have you played many or any gigs at all?
I did one gig about 4 months ago in a nursing home that was funded through Donegal County Council. Currently, I consider myself in a very lucky position that I'm actually got a few days' work through the live performance support scheme. But that's, you know, as I say, I consider myself to be one of the very, very lucky ones, because that 25 million support package will not trickle down to the vast majority of musicians, entertainers, or even crew and all the workers in the industry, and that it's only reaching out to a very select few.
Local musician Siobhan Peoples also with us. Siobhan, thanks for joining us on the show. Has it been similar for you? Have you played much at all since the pandemic set in last year in March?
Little to nothing, Alan, to be honest. Maybe last summer when the indoor happened, last summer we had a couple of nights all right, but then it was closed down pretty quick again, I think. But no, very little.
You're also a tutor at the University of Limerick. I mean, without that, how much would you be struggling? I mean, there are a lot of musicians for whom being a musician is their sole focus and their career. And, you know, without that, I mean, a lot of musicians these days, you know, album sales aren't what they once were. And musicians tend to make their money through gigs and selling merchandise, albums and T-shirts or whatever, at gigs. And with those two sources pretty much cut off, a lot of them would be really struggling.
Incredibly. I mean, without the PUP for the last year and a half, we would have been, I can't imagine what it would have been like for musicians. But a lot of musicians have gotten very inventive, and have tried to do online things, and now they, you know, they'll be supported for a while, but it's not a career, you know. There's no such thing as an online live career. I think the thing as well that people forget is last year all the talk about gyms and mental well-being and the calling for the reopening of gyms, particularly in traditional music anyway. I know that sessions for a lot of musicians, it's almost like a therapy, and without them I see a lot of people suffering mentally, very low, little to no hope, because there's no talk whatsoever of anything opening up. You know, from around Ennis, the traditional sessions doesn't involve a lot of volume, and yeah, and certainly not an awful lot of loud singing or joining in. And we can't understand in any capacity why three people sitting safely in a corner or outside can't play a few tunes, and it's not going to disrupt anything. And mentally, I think, because we have a lot of people that come to sessions, they've been in contact over the last year and a half, and they're struggling because they can't get to hear music. And I think we forget that side of ourselves, that it is genetic in us, and that it does speak to us in a way that no other music can. And I'm not dismissing any of the rest of the industry. It's impossible. No. At least with traditional, you have to make up your income in other places. So we usually have other things on the go. For somebody that's 100% committed to playing music for a living, it must be incredibly, incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I know, Matt, as a music lover myself, and the last gig I was at was the week before we first shut down in March of last year. I'm really missing, yeah, and my friends as well, really missing gigs, Matt. And as Siobhan says, I made the point about, you know, musicians need gigs as a source of income, but it's also that they get a real thrill and a buzz out of playing live, and they've been starved of that. And yeah, I suppose naturally enough, it would have an effect on their mental health. And I'm sure you're hearing a lot of that anecdotally through the MEAI.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to hear Siobhan on there this morning. I mean, how are you, Siobhan? One of our greatest exponents of fiddle music and trad fiddle. And, you know, we have such a varied culture in this country, and a rich, rich culture of music, especially our traditional Irish music. But we have so many other musics that mean so many things to so many different parts of people in our country, from Irish country to rock, and we are just a fantastic nation when it comes to that, and we punch way above our weight, as we do in so many things. And as you said at the top of the introduction there, like, we are recognised internationally. It's what people come here to see. It's what the government used to sell this country any chance they get. And I think it's quite ironic that as a country, I think the only country in the world with a musical symbol as its logo, the harp, that, you know, the whole sector has been ignored time and time again. And despite the repeated and consistent warnings to government made by us and by others, and by musicians like Siobhan there as well, be it on a national or local level to local politicians, this problem has been ignored. It has been treated and just cast aside as a blanket ban on music. And in effect, the most recent legislation that was published yesterday actually makes it an offence for the owner of a premises to have music or dancing in their premises. And that's just absolutely insane, when we could have and should have created guidelines at this stage to allow for the safe and responsible return of at least some music. I don't think any of us are kind of foolish enough to think that we can just flick the switch and get back to 100% or get back to what we experienced before the pandemic, but at least we could return to some type of normality at some level.
Yeah,
because the mental health impact of this it's getting worse as the day goes on. And, you know, not being able to play and not being able to have that social interaction is one thing, but I think the biggest and the biggest insult here is that we are feeling like we do not belong. We are feeling like we are completely disposable and utterly disrespected by the our own government, who are supposed to be fighting on our behalf to protect us as musicians and everyone else in the country.
Siobhan, I'm wondering, is the only option really for musicians at the moment in Ireland until things open up again in that regard, you know, with the digital COVID certificate, musicians could travel abroad to play or even up to the north?
You could, but I mean, like, the world at the moment is full of musicians that want to get back on the road, and with limited numbers, I'm not fully aware of what it's like across Europe or that, but if you're dealing with limited capacity, bringing musicians from another country is going to be expensive, and it's hard to justify bringing musicians from Ireland. And not everybody gets to travel anyway, which, like, particularly in our traditional music sector, a lot of musicians' needs are fulfilled locally. So, you know, with Brexit and things, like, England would have been a place we would have travelled to a bit. And that's going to be more difficult as they're trying to figure out how to deal with musicians. And, you know, so it's at the moment, it's not really, it's not something that would strike a lot of hope in my heart anyway.
Obviously, as I said, you're a tutor, a lecturer at UL, and that keeps you busy. But, you know, as a musician, do you still tinker away by yourself? Do you still get enjoyment out of it? Or does playing without playing in front of a crowd feel a bit like a hurler or a footballer doing lots of training but not getting to play a match?
Well, I think, again, it's just with traditional. My buzz isn't so much the crowd and the cheering and roaring. It's the participation with my fellow musicians. Yeah. And, like, the thing about traditional is when you sit down to play with people, it's a mutual conversation. And, again, I think that's where the health benefit comes from me, where I get to have that musical conversation with people that I love to converse with musically. I get nothing from sitting at home playing on my own. That doesn't do it for me at all. And it's interaction. It is that human interaction that I think we all need. And I think that's just, for me, the essence of it. As I said, some of us are lucky to have fingers and other pies, but it's no matter how much I'm working, it's not the same. I don't get that sense of release that I get from playing with other people.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. We've had a message in from Brian Damaris, who says, Fáilte, Alan, Siobhan and Matt, music is therapy for the mind, body and soul, whether Absolutely. You're listening or learning. I think we'd all agree with that. Matt, I'll just finish with yourself. We're hearing, you know, that the musicians have been advised to expect a safe and controlled return to performing in the coming weeks. Catherine Martin working with all the government and the Minister for Health specifically on the potential application of digital COVID certs as a means of entry to live events with reduced social distancing, perhaps antigen testing could be in there as well. Does that, maybe between the certificate and antigen testing, that could see a feasible return to live music?
Well, I mean, for licensed premises, we already have that digital passport or that COVID passport. So yeah. What's the delay in holding up any further as regards theatres, etc., and where music happens in other buildings or venues like that? The numbers do need to be increased. Maybe it's something where the passports would be a fantastic and a welcome addition there, because, you know, working in a theatre is all about, there has to be a viability. It's economically viable, and when you're out in theatres, you need capacity. And for the majority of shows, you're looking at about 70% occupancy before you even start to break even. So, yeah, absolutely, it's needed for that. Do we really need antigen testing? I'm not sure if that's necessary. It's an extra layer of kind of administration. It's an extra layer of cost that has to be passed on. I think we're much better at not looking at those types of things and finding alternative ways. And the passport is one of those ways.
Okay, we'll leave it there. But hopefully we will see a return to live music sooner rather than later. I think all us music lovers have our fingers and toes crossed for that. Matt McGranahan, thank you. That's Matt McGranahan, musician and spokesperson for the Music and Entertainment Association of Ireland, and also local musician Siobhan Peoples with us.